มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and Kickboxing News Worldwide
All right, what is going on, everybody? This is Eric Rivera from the Striking Corner Podcast, and welcome to another episode of our fantastic Muay Thai and kickboxing-related show. With me here on the podcast, as always, is Vinny Scotto, all the way from New York City. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
What's up? So we got a lot of, honestly, we got a lot of pretty exciting news, Striking Corner-wise. Today, Vinny and I are going solo. We don't have a guest, but the reason we don't have a guest for this podcast is also because while we're recording this podcast, there is a huge tournament going on in Iowa, which all of you know, which is the TBA Muay Thai Open is what I think they call it now, or the Expo now is what they call it. So the TBA Muay Thai Expo is going on in Iowa, and we have a lot of our friends and fellow fighters are out there. And fighting and doing pretty well. So when you guys listen to this, congratulations to all of you guys that are competing. I've seen some that have already made it to the finals. Our good friend Emilio, who was on the last podcast, is actually in the finals. So, you know, we'll hope to have some good news by the end of today. All right. So with that said, we have a lot of things going on with the Striking Corner. As you guys know, we've been investing a lot of time into the Striking Corner shop. The Striking Corner shop is live now on the, you know, for the last, I think it's the last couple, like a month now or 2 months now. It's been up and you guys can buy all your t-shirts, but we have more than just two shirts now. We have a third shirt, but also, Vinny, why don't you tell them what else they can get behind door number one?
Now you can get almost everything you need for Muay Thai and kickboxing. So we started bringing in a couple brands that we're working with, which, you know, we feel are some of, you know, the best American-owned brands, which is Combat Corner and Action Pro Gear. You know, we may bring some more in, but for right now, you know, these are the two that we like the most. We have most of their stuff in our store, but we're still waiting to get some more in before we put it up on the website. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, we've both tested both of these brands and used it. And a lot of people we know in the sport have also used it. And, you know, they only say good things about both brands. So that's why we decided to work with them.
Yeah. I mean, Combat Corner, I mean, is a great company. I think a lot of people, I think both of these companies, Combat Corner and Action Pro Gear, if you guys are really, really, really into the Muay Thai scene, which I know we have our diehard fans, and then we have people that are just getting into the Muay Thai scene now because of the podcast, which is something that we love to hear. But for you guys that are deep into the Muay Thai scene, you probably already have heard of Combat Corner and Action Pro Gear. You probably know that they're more, I guess a lot more people know them on the West Coast. We're trying to bring them out to the East Coast. Action Pro Gear, I've ordered stuff from them. I love their stuff. They actually sponsor guys like Gaston Bolaños and Kevin Ross, who have been on the podcast as well. And they have a couple of MMA guys on there as well. So Action Pro Gear, some great stuff. I've dealt with them, and they're just quality, top quality. And Combat Corner, I mean, when we were at the CSA Coaches Clinic at CSA Gym in Dublin, California, Kieran Fitzgibbons, who's obviously the head coach of CSA, spoke to us a lot about Combat Corner. He spoke to a lot of the coaches about Combat Corner. So they just have some really top quality stuff. Like we said, we really only wanted to bring on board brands that we have tested and we feel confident. We know that their quality is really high. What you'll see on the site is that we actually have one of their lines, which is, we have a couple of their lines, but we have one of their main lines, which is the HMIT brand, which means handmade in Thailand. So it's really the top quality gear that they're making in their own factory over there in Thailand. And it's really, really sturdy, great stuff. I mean, it comes recommended by a lot of people. I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast have used their stuff. So we're really happy to include them and Action Sports, and you can find their stuff on our shop now. So really, we're just trying to bring it over to get them more over to more people on this side of the U.S.
And one of the other reasons is that they are American owned. So even though it is, you know, they do have made in Thailand stuff, we want to focus on again building the community here in America. So we can, you know, one of the ways we can do that is by promoting selling American owned brands.
Yeah, Vinny's all America first. America first, man.
Yeah, well, everyone's used to, you know, buying all these Thai-owned companies, whether it's Fairtex or Top King or Twins. You know, they're all Thai-owned. And that really doesn't help the sport here or the economy here. So I'm all about not that I want to get into a political conversation, but I'm all about helping, you know, fellow Americans in small business.
All right, Vinny. All right. So anyway, Vinny's political affiliation showing now. So basically these are great companies, and like I said, we've worked with them and we love their shit. So that's why we have them on board.
I actually just got the HMIT gloves and shin guards, and they're pretty fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing I wanted to say is also, I mean, to put it into perspective as well, Combat Corner, and I didn't know this until I was looking at the pictures recently of the TBA, and Vinny is telling me they used them last year. Combat Corner is basically the gloves and shin pads and stuff that everybody's using at the TBAs. So obviously they're tried and true by some of the best athletes in America that are currently, you know, putting it on the line over there at the TBA Muay Thai Classic or Muay Thai Expo. So, you know, just like we said, they're a top-notch brand, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you would like to get their stuff. Go to the Striking Corner shop and check it out. Buy yourself some Action Pro Gear stuff, some Combat Corner stuff, and then also get yourself some shirts. The Striking Corner shirts are awesome.
Yeah, and don't forget our Buy a Vowel shirt, which starts shipping on July 10th, is also a portion of the proceeds from those shirts are being donated to the USMF.
Yeah. So that's another big thing for us. We want to get those pre-orders in for that, because like Vinny said, those are going to be going to helping guys and girls on the U.S. Muay Thai Federation team. The USMF team is actually using the TBAs to select some of their athletes and other competitions around the United States to select their athletes that will represent us at the IFMAs and the Pan Americans and everything, you know, we discussed with Emilio on our last podcast. I think the IFMAs coming up in 2018 are going to be in Mexico. I think we have a huge shot to do really, really well in Mexico because of the fact that it's closer. It's not like our athletes have to fly across the world. I think it's going to be a big opportunity for the U.S. to show up big. So we really want to help them, you know, get covered in pretty much everything they can. And I know a lot of other companies are jumping on board with this. But the Buy a Vowel shirt, if you do get it, is obviously a portion of that is going to help these guys when they go to the IFMAs and other tournaments. And that, with all that said, that's all our promotional stuff that's going on. You know, with that, you know, Vinny, I wanted to announce that I'm actually in training again. And I'm very happy doing that. But Vinny's probably going to call me a bitch because I already threw out I fucked up my back like after the first 2 days.
Oh, yeah, you're such a bitch.
So, yeah, I messed up my back after trying to. It was funny because it's ironic that it's usually never doing anything Muay Thai. But I just lifted a kettlebell and started doing kettlebell work.
How much did it weigh? Was it like 5 pounds?
It was like, what was those 2.5?
Oh yeah.
It's heavy, man. It's heavy for me. No, it was a 30 pound kettlebell, but it's still, man, I haven't lifted in a while, and that's just what happened, man, just jumping into it. But no, I'm really happy to get back into it, and I've set a goal. I've set a goal really to just I want to get back in fighting shape. I don't know if I'm gonna go back to fighting, but I really do want to get back in fighting shape. I got another kid on the way. I just don't want to be the fat dad. So
don't talk about it. Be about it.
That's what I'm going to do. And Vinny, on the other hand, is going on a keto kick. He showed me some shrimp fucking tacos he ate yesterday. Well, they looked horrible, but
fucking delicious, bro. Fucking delicious. They were shrimp, bacon, and avocado.
Yeah.
On a cauliflower tortilla.
Nice. That sounds horrible. Mixing shrimp and bacon just sounds horrible to me. But I don't like seafood, so that's probably why.
Yeah, well, go fuck yourself. How about that?
So, Vinny, how long have you been on this keto kick?
About 2 weeks.
And then so far, you're Italian, man. Going without carbs has got to be a tough thing.
It's miserable. I love carbs. I could put anything on a sandwich.
Yeah.
Anything.
That is true. You do love sandwiches.
I do.
Yeah.
Sandwiches and pizza. What else is there, you know?
For me, it's...
Now I can't have either one.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. For me, I went on keto. I'm jumping back on it this week because I got off of it on Friday because I ate some Thai food, noodles. So anyway, but I'm jumping on it again, and it's miserable too, man, because I'm Hispanic and rice is with everything. So, but yeah, so... What else have we got going on, Vin?
Not much, really. I mean, I don't even really want to talk to you right now.
Oh, so anyway, we have a lot. There's a I've been watching a lot of MMA recently.
Vin? Oh God, I hate you. I hate your very existence.
No, but I think we have to be in tune with everything that's going on. So anyway, I was watching Bellator this weekend, and they were in New York City, and it seems like finally New York City is getting the attention it deserves as a hot spot for combat sports again. So you know, that was cool to see. And you know, Fedor Emelianenko, after, I know this is all crazy that you guys are hearing MMA talk from us, but it's just like, I was watching Fedor Emelianenko, who was one of
don't say us, because it's not from us.
But from I was just sad because Fedor Emelianenko was like my favorite fighter, and then he like stepped in the ring, although he's like fucking 40 something now, and sometimes I'm wondering
why he's still fighting.
I don't know. I think it's hard for a lot of athletes to get away from the ring. You know, I don't know, man. I mean, think about it like this. I mean, that's kind of what I've been thinking about recently is, I mean, I'm 34. It's not like I'm not old or anything. But for me, I feel like, you know, I've been out of the game for a while, focusing on work and shit like that. And being away from Muay Thai just completely sucks, man. For me, like, being away from it, that's why I jumped back into training. And really, that's why I want to kind of, I figure I want to get back in the ring and do a couple more fights and then call it quits. But we'll see how it happens, because, you know, now that I got another kid on the way and stuff like that, sometimes it's going to be tough. But I don't want to make any excuses. And sometimes I think when we're parents or as parents, like, a lot of us kind of use our kids to be an excuse that everything's tougher or shit like that. And I think I've fallen into that a little bit. And I mean, I've done it plenty of times. Yeah, no, I know I have. I mean, I've been out of training for like 2 years. I've been 2 years off and on since Lucas was born. My son is two now, and he's like 2 years and 2 months or whatever. But I've been off and on since then. So that's why I'm jumping back.
How many months is that? You finally stopped using months?
It would be 26 months, 27, I think, 27 months.
Yeah. What do you go up to? Like, he's like 76 months old.
No. I stopped at 2 years. Now I go like 2 years and 1 month or something like that. So yeah, but I think a lot of times we make excuses for when we get kids or we're working a day job, and then it's like there's a lot of Muay Thai guys out there, especially these people, that, friends of ours that we know that are fighting at the TBAs that are amateurs, and they're high level amateurs. They're in A class. And they hold down jobs. They do their thing. They probably, some of them have kids, and they're still out there fucking training. So I can't be a bitch, and I got to do it.
Yeah, stop blaming it on your innocent 2-year-old son. He did nothing wrong.
I know. But oh, please, man. I mean, I think everybody's. You just said you went through. Vinny was like 30 minutes late for the podcast because he had to go help his wife put your kid in the car. So I mean, it does take time, man.
So I'm still doing the podcast.
No, I know. I didn't say you canceled it. I didn't cancel the podcast.
Oh, but you canceled your training.
Yeah, I did. But then that also goes to the fact that I have a 9-to-5 job. So, and sometimes it's It's far from me. I don't want to get into because I'm going to look like I'm going to sound like I'm making all the excuses. I'm making
he's
all of them.
Just to sit here and make every excuse possible because he's been doing it for 2 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Instead of just saying, "Hey, I'm fucking lazy."
Yeah, I am lazy.
He's just going to make excuses.
That's the theme of the podcast. The theme of the podcast is laziness, and Eric is the poster child of it. Because I know Vinny wants me to design a bunch of shit and he's always on my ass about it, and then I tell him I'm busy.
Yeah, he's such a piece of shit.
So what's going on?
Fucking shit together.
Yeah. So you didn't go to Friday Night Fights? You didn't go to Friday Night Fights this week?
No, I did not actually.
No, because you usually go out there all the time.
No, I haven't been going to the Friday Night Fights. I'm no particular reason. Mm-hmm. I just haven't gone.
Yeah. Do you have anybody getting ready for the, so there's an upcoming Warriors Cup, right? July?
Yeah. July 8th in, Philly.
You don't have anybody getting ready for it?
I have two actually getting ready for that.
Nice. Nice. Who's on deck?
I have, Manny getting ready for that, mm-hmm. and this other kid, Abel, getting ready for it. Nice. Manny, it's his second fight. Abel, it's his debut fight.
Technically, it should be his third fight if that other guy didn't fucking bitch out.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that again. Which, by the way, I've seen more posts recently about situations like that. Yeah. And one in particular was Charlie from Eight Limbs in Philly.
I know, he posted to the contract. That was fucking awesome.
Well, he put together an invoice to send to the coach of the person who didn't make weight, which I thought is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that guy's actually going to pay it because, you know, he's probably a piece of shit if his fighter didn't make weight. But I thought it was a really good idea.
Yeah, no. And you know what? In that discussion, and we're going to go back, we go back to this discussion again because it happens so much. It even happened at the professional level the other day. There's actually the UFC fight night. Like I said, is tonight here. It's Sunday when we record this podcast. And yesterday, Johnny Hendricks weighed in. And it's like the third time he's missed weight. So it doesn't only happen at an amateur level. It happens at a professional level. But at the professional level, he gets docked, you know, pay. And I think that pay goes to his opponent. So, I mean, that's something that for amateurs, though, it's like, you know, we always rehash this, but it just happens so fucking much, man, that the professionalism is there. You know, we know that there's so many different gyms, and, you know, Vinny and I have discussed this at length when Vinny did his rant in a couple podcasts ago when this whole this thing happened to Manny at Warriors Cup. But it just happens a lot, and it's because there's no, how would I say, there's no,
for
people, yeah, there's no consequence. But for people who don't have integrity, when there's no consequence, they're not going to fucking follow up on trying to do things correctly. Because, you know, Vinny and I have gone to different tournaments all over the country, and there are those gyms that we know are going to make weight. You know, you just know, oh shit, I'm going to get this guy. Not only is my fighter going to have a challenging fight because I know their coach, I know their gym is solid, but you know that their guys are going to be on weight and there's not going to be any problems. You know, they're going to show up to the fight. But there are these other gyms that just, I don't know, man, I hate to say it, but there are these other gyms that just are riding on the coattails of the success of what they believe the perceived success of Muay Thai and kickboxing, or the UFC, and these guys, these like wannabe coaches jump on board, and then they get these guys and they convince these kids to fight. And then when they don't know how to train them. And when these guys actually jump in to fight, you know, they're not prepared. They're not prepared both physically. They're not prepared mentally. You know, there was a whole discussion this weekend also with Nine Rounds.
Oh yeah, that's been going around. That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, which I unfortunately haven't been able to see because I've been involved in this huge project at work. And then every time I went in to see and join in on the fun, on the discussion, Nine Rounds had pulled down the video. So I didn't get to see a lot of it, but I assume it was just a lot of slap boxing and bullshit like that.
It's ridiculous. It's like, yeah, back fist into hooks with punt kicks and just a bunch of like weird, crazy spinning shit that, I don't know. These people look ridiculous. And the worst part about it is, like, all right, so if you want to exist, mm-hmm, that's fine.
Yeah.
Exist, you know, do what you got to do. There's enough for everyone. But don't try to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't post a video of this shit and hashtag Muay Thai or kickboxing. Yeah. Like your hashtag should be fitness kickboxing or cardio kickboxing. Mm-hmm. Fucking stupid jumping kick pad work to get in shape. I don't know, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Hashtag. But hashtag yeah. shit.
Yeah, exactly. But don't be something you're not. If you, you know, if you just, you know, you own up to what you do, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But the worst part is that these coaches in these videos, they come on these videos and they talk with such confidence that like what they're teaching is real shit.
Yeah.
It's just insane. It's insane. Like, come on the video, have confidence, but have confidence in the fact that you're going to keep someone moving and active and sweating and they're going to lose weight. Don't have confidence in the fact that they're really going to be able to win a fight or learn how to fight using a fucking punt kick. I mean, that's only going to work if you're kicking someone in the nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I got to join in on the – I didn't get to join in on the fun that much, but I saw that, you know, Eric Haycraft also commented. I always quote him because he's always involved in these things, but I saw that he was quoting how they were like – there's – even for their certification courses to teach, they don't – they say like no experience necessary. They'll just teach you, you know, their – I guess – their what is it, I don't know, their system, whatever, to make money. But yeah, I mean, it's I hate that shit, because honestly, man, I remember a while back I was at a gym, I don't want to mention what gym it was, but I was brought in to do Muay Thai, to quote unquote teach Muay Thai, and then I ended up butting heads with the owner, because his assumption was that by teaching Muay Thai, what I was teaching was cardio kickboxing. And Vin, I remember I spoke to you about it. I remember that I was pissed off because on the schedule, my class was called cardio kickboxing. And it pissed me off. And I told him, you have to change that. That is not what I've been doing for the last, you know, 10 or so years of my life, which at that time I was like 10 years I had been training Muay Thai, was not to be, you know, calling it cardio kickboxing. And what happened is also the people that were coming in to do the class, when they would read that on the schedule, on the website and everything, were under the impression that that's what they were going to be getting. So, you know, it was weird, because I was getting like, you know, older ladies, you know, and that's not saying, you know, that older ladies can't do Muay Thai, but they were clearly not coming in for that. You know, they were clearly not coming in for Muay Thai. So when I had these other more talented women, you know, that were already experienced in Muay Thai, you know, holding pads and telling this lady how to hold pads. And she was like, oh my God, you know, I don't want to do this. I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I wanted. And then one of them, you know, one of the girls wasn't holding the pads correctly. And one of my more experienced girls threw a punch and like smacked her in the face. And, you know, that becomes an issue. So, it's because it's, how would I say, it's advertised that way. So what happens in this case with Nine Rounds, if they hashtag it Muay Thai and they hashtag it kickboxing and Thai boxing and all this shit, the next time those people ever leave Nine Round and they go to a serious gym, they're going to get a rude awakening, you know? You know, that's the way I feel. And not only that, it just downplays the whole sport and makes it look like it's stupid. And those guys, yeah, like I think the whole, from what I could read on the comments, the whole issue was that the instructors were teaching it as if it was like some serious fucking hardcore training that you were going to learn like self-defense from it. And I think that's what, like, yeah. I saw like Zach took issue with it. Zach Bunnell, who's been on the podcast, he took issue with it because he was saying, you know, these guys are going to go out and have this really, really false sense of security that they're going to know how to defend themselves, and they're going to end up getting hurt if they try to use any of that shit. So, yeah, I mean, that was another bone to pick with what's going on. And honestly, I think it all has to do with the growth of the sport and people, the perceived growth of the sport. Because what I mean by perceived growth of the sport is people think that, you know, when you're a fighter, you're going to make millions of dollars, you're going to make a shitload of money. And we know that that couldn't be further from the truth. All you guys that are deep in the sport, or you guys that are new to the sport, this sport has grown a lot in the last few years. Obviously, it's a beautiful thing. You know, Vinny and I are super happy with it. You know, since we started our podcast, just the witnessing the growth has been amazing. But we got to be real and say that this is still in the growing stages. It's still very much in its infancy. It's still very much in the fact that, you know, these guys, like most of the fighters we know, all have – If they're pro, they're having to do both MMA and Muay Thai in order to make ends meet. If they're pro Muay Thai and they don't have a day job, they're still doing other stuff to make money. And then if they are pro, some of them do have day jobs. You know, some of them do have day jobs aside from fighting. And all the amateurs obviously have day jobs aside from fighting. So it's not at this place where you can completely live off of just Muay Thai for the rest of your life. And I mean, I'm talking about live comfortably. I'm pretty sure you can live and you can figure things out. But live comfortably, like, this is not football. This is not soccer. This is not baseball, where dedicating your life to this is going to make you a fucking millionaire, and not even close to it. So I think what it is these people bring on they think it's it's growing and it's a fad, and they're seeing that they can make money off of it, and they're jumping on board with it. And I've seen these gyms pop up everywhere. They're, you know, where they say they do Muay Thai and say they do kickboxing. When you go in, it's just fucking cardio kickboxing. It has nothing to do with it. And that's what's getting into the common layperson's mentality of what Muay Thai and kickboxing is it's this shit, because they're marketing it to the common everyday mom and pop that are just trying to get, you know, in shape. So, I mean, that pisses me off. So, I mean, and there was a couple of other people that jumped on board that shouldn't have jumped on board in that conversation. And, you know, we're kind of, I guess, defending these gyms and getting on people's case for the fact that we were bad mouthing these people and having them take down the videos. But I think as a Muay Thai community, that's what we were doing. We were doing is standing up for the sport.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I told you, you know, I already said my view on it. Own up to what you are. That's all I say. You know?
Yeah.
You can exist. That's fine. Just be what you are. Don't try to be something else.
Yep. Going back to the funny thing, I wanted to go back to Charlie's thing about the contract or the invoice that he made for people that miss weight. So anyway, on that thread, so if you guys were involved or whatever, like I said, the Muay Thai community is really tight. So there was a thread that, you remember, your Vinny had this great idea back in the day, a couple podcasts ago, where he had said that he thought that, you know, as an amateur, you should pay like a $200 deposit for the fight. And if you made weight, then you would get your $200 back. If you did not make weight, those $200 would go towards the medicals and, you know, basically the time spent by the other, you know, person, the other person that did get on weight and did show up for the fight. So you basically would, you know, that money would go to them. I heard from, I think Charlie had said that Rami had been doing something about, which was like $50. And I think it had already been working for some people. I mean, I agree with it. I agree with Rami's standpoint on that, the $50 thing. I think it should be a little bit more, because I think there are some people that are willing to lose $50 to bitch out.
I don't think 50 is enough, because it depends. Like, it also depends on where you are too, because, like, for example, you know, going back to Manny's fight, when he fought, he had to go to not everybody has insurance. So he had to go to the regular doctor for a physical, which was $150. Mm-hmm. And then to get the blood work, they outsource that. So you have to go to another lab, like, you know, LabCorp or some shit.
Yeah.
And they sent them a $350 bill in the mail for medicals.
Yeah.
For the blood work. So now you're talking $500.
Yeah.
$50 doesn't even put a dent in that. So you lose $500. Like, if you spend $500, I mean, even as an amateur, it sucks, because you work hard for that $500.
Yeah.
But if you spend it and you get to fight, you know, even if you don't win, but if you win, you get the glory of winning. If you don't win, you know, and you fought hard, you know, at least you feel something.
Yeah.
But when you don't even get to fight after spending $500 and all the time on top of it, $50, in my opinion, doesn't cover anything. I think it should be a minimum of at least $200-$300, mm-hmm. depending on the state that you're in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in New York, shit is expensive. I mean, in New York, New Jersey, Philly, it's all expensive stuff. Yeah. If you're getting probably more down south or in the Midwest, it's probably a little bit cheaper. But I just think that it needs to be a reasonable amount of money. And again, if you're going to make weight and you're going to do what you're supposed to do, you shouldn't worry about putting the money up, because you're going to get it right back.
Yeah, and my opinion on that too was that if it's like $300 or $200, let's say, you're going to get a lot of the more serious gyms are going to be like have no problem with putting up that money. Even if it's like the coach putting up the money, because you know that he's going to have his fighter, you know, set. But it's also going to weed out, for me, it's going to weed out the serious contenders from the bullshit artists. You know what I mean? So like, it's going to be like, you know, there's going to be like I said, we know a lot of the top gyms that are involved in this game and always show up and always make weight or, you know, do a good job, or maybe they're a pound over, 2 pounds over, you know, there's an allowance or whatever, but they're always usually there where they need to be. They're not like fucking 8 pounds over, you know? So what happens is I think it makes those gyms that are sort of these, you know, McDojos that'll be like, oh, we're not going to put up $300 because we don't really know if our guy's prepared for this, you know, that kind of shit. So I think that kind of weeds out the con artists really, or the non gyms from really joining in and going full contact into these events and trying to get their guys on there.
But what do you get out of that anyway? What do you get out of signing up for a fight and not making weight and then not getting to fight? Like, do you just get to say, hey, I'm a fighter? Like, is that what you get at?
I mean, we've talked about it before. You train for likes. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of people, and you know, it's the funny thing, and we've discussed it. There's the social media fighters. There's, you know, you know what it is, and this is funny because this is another topic I think we've touched on in the past, but I kind of wanted to bring it up now. Is in the United States, and I think I've mentioned this before, in the United States or in every country really, there's always this thought when we watch a professional sports team, a professional athlete, there's always this thought, and it's usually very uneducated people that would think this way, but uneducated people that would think that, oh, I could do that, you know, I could do that, you know, like they'll watch a soccer player and like, bitch. I mean, we have fans, you know, there's fans are shitty all over the place. There are fans that are shitty. So they will go and say, you know, oh, this guy sucks, whatever, you know, and we're talking about like people yelling at LeBron that he sucks and he's a choke artist. Okay. That's, you know, I don't like LeBron personally. I mean, not personally. I don't know him personally, but I don't like him. I'm not his fan, you know, even though he was on the Miami Heat, I never liked LeBron. You can label me a LeBron hater, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm not going to say LeBron sucks at basketball. You know what I mean? Like, or say that I could do what he could do. And I think what happens is a lot of people, there are very few people, there are people in this world that do not understand the difference between being somebody who does something on the weekends and occasionally does shit as a hobby to somebody who does things as a professional. I remember to quote, and this is awesome because I'm going to sound super intelligent, but I'm quoting a line from the Fast and the Furious, the original one, where the guy goes, you can't just get in the ring with Ali because you think you can box, you know? And that's kind of what I feel happens here. A lot of times in the United States is a lot of people don't understand the difference between being a professional and being somebody who's dedicated to a craft, and people who think they can just do shit people who just do shit on the weekends. They think that, oh, I could do that. That's fine. I could do that. And
it comes out like I could even tell you from you know, from owning a gym, like it's crazy what people think they can do or what's possible. Cause maybe I'm a little bit overboard when it comes to, you know, training fighters or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I tell anyone, if someone comes to me or they want to fight, I say, listen, that's fine. I'll put you in the ring when I feel you're ready. But I'm not even going to consider it if you're not here 5 days a week training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you need to put a minimum of 5 to 10 hours a week in the gym training Muay Thai. That doesn't include your running, doesn't include, you know, your strength and conditioning that you do outside of the gym. If you do, not everybody does, but you need at least minimum 5 to 10 hours training Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when somebody tells me they want to fight and I tell them that, they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, really, that much? I'm like, yeah, of course that much. I mean, what do you think this is? Like, you know, you're not going to train one day a week and I'm going to put you in the ring. Because when you get in there, you're representing my name, my gym, and I'm responsible for your safety.
Yeah.
I can't put you in there if, you know, I don't feel you're training enough to be ready.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you, you know, kind of what people think it takes. They think it's nothing. It's simple.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting at also, you know, with my whole fucking long-winded thing about professional sports. But the idea is that you see that a lot in professional sports. However, it seems like not as much. Like, people will say, oh, I can do that in professional sports, but they won't do it as much with, like, sports like football, baseball, basketball. At least I haven't experienced it. But for fighting, for some reason, everybody thinks they can fight. I mean, there's a shitload of people out there who think they can fight because they've been in a fight on the street, because they grew up somewhere in a bad neighborhood. Who knows? Whatever the fuck they think they've done with their lives that you know, means that they can fight. And I think it's because I actually discussed this a little bit with Hero, who Dr. Hero Pereira, who was on the podcast. We were in the car heading to go get something for lunch, and I was discussing it with him, and we were talking about how people, for some reason, because they think fighting is such a normal, because fighting is in all of us, you know, it's two hands, two, you know, the science of eight limbs, let's say if it's for Muay Thai, but if you think about boxing, it's two hands. People think that they can just fight because it's a simple thing. Oh, I can throw a punch and I can throw a jab and I can throw a cross. That's not how it works, you know, and there's so many people that come into a gym with that impression. I mean, and I'm sure you could even comment below on when we post this on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. You can even comment on this, but I'm pretty sure, and I've seen it a million times from all of you guys that are friends of ours on Facebook and friends of ours on social media, that'll say, so-and-so came into the gym today, told me he was like 10-0 in street fighting and says he wants to fight next week, you know, wants to be a world champion, wants to fight for wants to go to IKF, wants to go to TBAs, wants to fight, you know, and I think 9 times out of 10, and I'm pretty sure that's like true, 9 times out of 10, those are the guys that after the first training session fucking quit, you know, or yeah, a couple or a weekend they quit. Because once, I mean, and it, you know, it was, I remember it was a rude awakening for me. I kind of had that when I was a younger kid, when I first started doing San Shao, I was maybe 16 or 17. I remember, like, they told me, oh, you're going to spar this guy. I think his name was Abe. I don't remember what his name was, but I think it was Abe or something. And this was this nerdy, tall, skinny, nerdy kid with glasses. And I thought, oh, I'm going to fuck this kid up. And that did not happen. You know, that did not happen. He hit me, you know, he got me, jabbed me, busted up my nose. I mean, that's what happened. And I went in there with that attitude. Oh, I can fight. I can do this. Cause I had fought in school. Cause I had done shit. You know, I had a couple of fisticuffs in school and shit like that. And you think you can go with somebody who's probably been training, like, he was training at that point maybe like a year. Of course, man, he fucking ruined me, you know? So I don't know, man. I see that happen a lot in sports, and I think it spills over into, like I said, it spills over into these McDojos. And I think those coaches share the same mentality, and they think they can put this guy in a ring and it's only going to need like 6 months to get him to fight and all this type of stuff. I mean, listen, man, I had a whole, back in the day, we won't mention names, Vinny, but you know who it was and you know the coach that it was. But back in the day, I remember you would step into the gym and he would be like, I'm going to make you a champion. Mm-hmm. I think you know who I'm talking about, but he used to do that all the time. Like, I can make you a champion, and I've made this guy champion, and I've coached this guy, and I've coached that guy, and I've done this and this and this and this and this. And he's trying to sell you on this shit. And I remember one time I kind of got angry because I had actually won a Florida State title. I had won a Florida State title for amateur Muay Thai. And I was training in the ring, and he's doing his cardio kickboxing class because he taught a cardio kickboxing class. Aside from Muay Thai. So I'm training in the ring with my coach, Jose, who is my coach now. At that time, he was an assistant instructor. And this guy has like a, it's funny because he had a like a speaker, like one of those mics that had like those big ass speakers, but the, like, to talk to the class and say, hey, you know, we're going to do kickboxing today. I guess he spoke like that. He didn't really need those speakers because the room was small. It was just for the show of it. And he would wear like a Muay Thai jacket, a Muay Thai warm-up suit, and his hat on backwards and the headset with the mic. And, hey, how's everybody doing today? Anyway, so I'm training in the ring. I had just won. And then he tells like all the people that are in that cardio kickboxing class. He goes, "That's Eric. He's a world champion, Muay Thai champion." And I'm like, "The fuck is he talking about, man? Muay Thai world champion, man. Don't say that shit." You know, like that's kind of where like our paths started going in opposite directions. But I think there's a lot of coaches that are like that, man. They're too full of their own stuff, and then they too full of their own shit, or the fact that they've done pretty okay in, you know, building some fighters here and there, and then they do this stuff and they end up putting there's people that are not ready, and they put them in the ring, man, just because they want to look good. And he put in somebody in the ring, and when the guy didn't do good, man, he like ran out of the building. He didn't even like help the guy out of the ring or anything. So, you know, I've had my experiences with that, and that's kind of what happens when you have somebody who acts like a street fighter also become coach, you know. And he was a decent coach, but still, you know. That's my story. I'm sorry. I had to go on
this shit. Yeah.
And you know him. Anyway. You know who it was. So.
Yeah, I know. You kind of made him sound like Cheech from Cheech and Chong. But sorry.
He didn't sound like Cheech? Kind of sounded like Cheech. I
don't know. But yeah, anyway, going back to what we were saying is that the people who walk in the gym saying that they want to fight, usually they're the shortest lived member you ever have.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely true. And it's happened so many times. Well, I always say two things happen. Either they humble up and they end up being one of your more dedicated students, or they're the ones who just don't hack it and they leave. And they go to another gym with the same fucking story. You know, and you end up hearing through the grapevine because you know, like all the gyms in the area or coaches in the area. Oh, so-and-so came to my gym today. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I know that guy. How long did he last this time? You know, so-and-so
either
came.
That or they go to another gym that the whole gym has that douchebag mentality. And then all he does is talk shit about your gym, which is actually the good one to, you know, the people in the other gym. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what's happening to you personally?
No. That didn't. No. It didn't happen to me personally.
Okay. But yeah, no. So, I mean, we've gone on this rant about all this stuff, and it was really cool because, like I said, like what I've really enjoyed, guys, about this whole podcasting thing that Vinny and I are doing is, besides the podcast and speaking with everybody, like speaking to, I know we get a lot of listeners that we probably don't have on Facebook, and we probably don't, you guys don't join in on these conversations because you're somewhere else in the world or whatever. But, and I'm pretty sure, like, I've heard these problems, like we've heard from K1 Anoop, and we've heard from other people in the UK that these type of problems also happen in the UK, and they happen in other areas. And I think it's a problem sometimes with the West in the way we look at certain things. I think it's because in the West, everything is about we want results now. Things have to be now. Everything's now. Like, it's like we are the culture. A lot of times in the West, we are the culture of now. Nobody, because we're so used to instant gratification, where let's say, you know, you go to Starbucks and you want a coffee, and then they fucking have it in like 2 seconds for you. You know, there's this thought of instant gratification in the West where everything comes quickly. Like there's less work for it. And it's become more and more prevalent as time has gone on. I mean, a lot of people talk about millennials and all this type of stuff where we're in this mentality now that we don't have to work to get we don't have to work hard to get results, you know? And that's why this whole thing about 9 round that came out, it's like, oh, okay, you can do this fucking circuit. What is it? I mean, one of their mottos is, what is it? Like a 30-minute kickboxing class or something like that? I saw it underneath one of their pages. It was like, oh, it's a 30-minute kickboxing fitness class or some shit like that. And like, once again, it's that mentality of instant gratification. Like in 30 minutes, I'm going to be able to achieve something that, you know, and for, like I said, it's uneducated people that think that way, but they'll think that, oh, in 30 minutes, I will be able to already be stepping towards what these guys I see on TV are doing, which is so fucking far from the truth. And you're selling a lie, and it's bullshit, and you're making money off of that. And I think, you know, these people, like, they've pulled down videos, and I think, you know, other people have jumped on board of why we're bullying them or whatever. And we're not bullying them. I mean, I think it's like when you see something that is really hurting the growth of our sport, you deserve to be called out on it. And I think that's what was happening this weekend. And I liked it because I liked it at the same time because it shows that the Muay Thai community has become a lot more tight knit. It used to be West Coast, East Coast, Middle America. You know, a lot of these places were sort of split up a little bit, and it was sort of disjointed. Our Muay Thai community was somewhat disjointed at one point, but with social media and everything, it's become like I've seen like so much unification. It's great. You know, we talk to people on the West Coast, with the East Coast, you know, West Coast fighters, West Coast companies like our friends at West Coast Muay Thai, recognizing like a lot of the East Coast guys, the East Coast brands, and the East Coast guys recognizing a lot of the West Coast talent. And it's a lot more united. And then also the guys in the middle of the U.S., like in Houston, where Michael Corley is, and you know, they're in Iowa now at TBAs. It's a lot more united, and I think that's what's going to push the sport forward. But we also have to protect our sport, and we have to call these fucking charlatans out, whether they're like shitty gyms that are putting up, you know, pulling out of fights at the last minute, or they're or you know, fighters that are, you know, like I said, social media, that they're just training for likes. They just want to tell everybody they're a fighter, but then when it comes time to step in the ring, they're not going to do shit. And then and then also calling out like these companies that are trying to make money off of selling Muay Thai and selling kickboxing when that's not really what they're doing. And I'm doing air quotation marks just in case, selling Muay Thai.
And this kickboxing is a podcast. They can't see you.
I know. There will be a video element at one point in our lifetime, but
I think we might lose listeners if everybody has to stare at you for an hour.
I know, right? I don't know. Maybe they'll realize that I am the pretty one. Oh. Yeah, or though it's gonna be like radio. You know how radio, you're like, you listen to this guy on radio and he has like an amazing voice, and then when you finally see that person in person, you're like, that's the fucking guy, that's the guy. Oh my god, he looks fucking horrible. Which is why it's, I don't know, you have a, there's that term, you have a face for radio. Yeah. Yeah, so we have a face for I have a face for podcasting. Vinny on the other hand, he's Italian, so he's got that whole, you know, very proud, and so he, you know, he believes he's beautiful and amazing and awesome. And
of course.
Yeah. All right, guys. So I think we've rambled on enough. Like I said, we want to touch back on everything that's been going on with the Striking Corner Shop. Really, guys, you know, this is a big step for us, and we're really happy to bring on board brands like Combat Corner and Push Brands that were really how would I say, we've tried and we've like using their stuff, and we really put our name behind, because there's stuff that we feel that you are going to feel the quality of it, that you're going to like the gloves, that you're going to like the equipment. And I know as a Muay Thai, a lot of us, we love equipment. You know, I mean, I think I have 3 pairs of gloves, and I'm always looking for new ones. You know, so
I have an issue.
Yeah.
I really have an issue. I mean, I've seen some coaches recently posting their collections. I mean, I'm probably not as bad as most of them.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? I don't have a collection, because every time I'm one of those people that I can't, I'm very OCD, so I can't deal with clutter. Mess. Yeah. So like whenever I get something new, I get rid of the old.
Yeah.
I either give it to someone or whatever. So I'm one of those people that has a problem where I always need something new. I need new tie pads, new gloves, new shin guards. And I don't even really use, I mean, my shin guards I use because I use them when I'm holding pads.
New t-shirts from the Striking Corner.
What?
New t-shirts from the Striking Corner. You know, I need to buy multiple. You know, guys, I have a problem too. I need to buy multiple shirts of the same size and brand and logo. You know, like if it says Champ Up, I love the ones that say like Champ Up or Muay Thai is Life, or, you know, they say like buy a vowel tee, that they're like, you know, those ones that don't have vowels. Those are fucking awesome, man. I mean, I would buy a shitload of those if they were available. #StrikingCorner.
Anyway, yes, I always need something new, even though I don't even use my gloves because I don't get to train too much anymore. But
yeah, no, I've been using the ones I got at when I bought from you. I've been using them this, and it's funny because I have like Booster, I have Venom, I have, you know, I have a pair of Combat Corner gloves. I had action shin pads. I mean, I love, and I'm always getting different stuff, man. And it's, I do the same thing because it always feels good. It's like you feel more motivated to train. Like I always tell people, you know, that you hit harder, you punch harder and kick harder when you buy new shit.
Like, I got to break this new shit in. Let me go train today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you, it's like those old video games that were like, you get experience points. Like as soon as you put on a pair of shorts, it's like 3-up power. Yeah. Like, you know, I got +3 power now because I got new fucking shorts on. So, yeah, I mean, like, guys, we're happy to bring all this stuff to you. We're really happy to bring on Action Pro Gear and Combat Corner, two top quality brands, as Vinny said, American owned companies, making great, great stuff. Obviously, like Combat Corner is handmade stuff in Thailand. So it's the same quality stuff that you guys already get or already look forward to from other big names. But now these are American companies that are doing it and have their factories out in Thailand to get that quality. So
Pro Gear has their stuff is made in Thailand also.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is, you know, it's American companies that are doing stuff out there. So you're helping to support across the board and helping these local brands grow. That's part of the reason we wanted to jump on board with them. And like I said, they're also people that have supported us too in the past. And so you can find them now on the store.strikingcorner.com. We're actually going to be working on some stuff to make the shopping experience a little bit better on strikingcorner.com. And so I'm going to be working on that. So check out, we're going to have a couple of updates this week on our Instagram, Facebook account. So with that said, guys, I guess we'll start to, you know, wind this up. But yeah, you can find us, you can catch us on social media. And I'll do, I'll put our exit song here. So you guys can catch us on social media at strikingcorner.com is our Facebook page. I'm sorry, our main website is www.strikingcorner.com. You can find the shop there, the link to the shop, or you can go directly to the shop at store.strikingcorner.com. You can also find us on social media on Facebook at facebook.com/strikingcorner, on Instagram at strikingcorner, on Twitter at Striking Corner, and then you can actually get in contact with me personally, Eric@strikingcorner.com, and I'm also on Instagram, my personal Instagram, which is Eric Rivera_TSC. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
My email is Vinny@strikingcorner.com, and any social media as Vinny Scotto, SIMT.
Yeah, guys, so once again, you know, we got shop at the Striking Corner, guys. Help us out. Help a couple of American brands trying to grow the sport of Muay Thai here in the United States. And besides that, shout out to everybody that competed in this past weekend's TBAs. Congratulations on all your hard work, whether you won or you lost. Either way, you're coming away with a lot of experience and one of the best tournaments in America. Shout out to TBAs. I love their tournament. I competed on it before, and it was a fantastic experience. So like I said, whether you guys win or lose, and then also the USMF, I know Michael Corley was out there, and it's one of the tournaments that they're using for the selection process of the teams that will represent at the IFMAs, the U.S. teams that will represent at the IFMAs. So, you know, shout out to the United States Muay Thai Federation. And for that reason, guys, pre-order now your Buy a Vowel tee. Proceeds from that shirt will go to the USMF to support our athletes. So those shirts are available for pre-order now. It's called the Buy a Vowel Tee on the strikingcorner.com shop. And they will ship out on July 10th. All right, guys. So that's it for this episode of the Striking Corner. We will be back next week with a guest. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you for listening and thank you for all your support.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.